Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 This is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and babies, Jesus! Help us.
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in California.
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
It's Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope one of those cowboy guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that doctor, homie. Fuck that. Black D. How?
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J-Cat Morris.
You are now listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
It is December 18th, 2013. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris. Well, you know, back for another show. I'm pretty excited. I got a bunch to talk about. Definitely going to review the Cage of Death that just went on this past Saturday. Definitely going to talk about some football. I got a couple things to play for you guys. Big announcement on next week's show, on next week's Yakuza Kick Christmas Spectacular, whatever you want to put it out as. Big, big surprise guest, and by the end of the show, I'll definitely drop that on you. But first, just to catch you up on whatever I said I was doing last week, I said I was doing a race. That didn't happen. CCW decided to start the show about an hour late, about an hour to put up the cage. Overall, stretched that show pretty much a six-hour event. So, I getting to bed, at least 2 o'clock and having to wake up at seven, on my only day off of the week in order to go to, Lakewood to run a 5K race just ended up not happening. I've actually done pretty little at all that's physical. I got to turn off that alert thing. I've done pretty little physical at all. I've been beating the living shit out of Mint Oreos. Definitely say that for sure. They're fucking fantastic. Tis the season to be a piece of shit, isn't it? I think that's how that thing goes. I went into ShopRite, speaking of the Mint Oreos, I went into ShopRite the other day. I saw that they have peppermint Oreo. Normally, it's weird. I'm impulsive like this. I'm not even an Oreo guy. And I went into ShopRite the one day, and I saw that they have limited edition holiday peppermint Oreos. So I'm like, ah, oh, man, that looks, you know, something about, you know, the mint and chocolate just kind of sparked something in my mind. I was like, yeah, I want that a lot right now. So I went over to the cookie aisle because, you know, I passed the actual peppermint limited edition Oreos in, like, the opening display of the store, like, as you walk in, before you actually even get into the store. So I saw that, and, you know, that's when the wheels started turning, and by the time I was, you know, near where what I was getting in the store, I had decided, like, I need fucking Oreos now. So then I went to the cookie aisle, and I guess that's not where they kept the limited edition chips. They had those out front. So I ended up just going and getting just the, you know, standard, what do you call it? Jesus Christ. I'll get back to what I'm bitching about in a minute. So I went over there. They just had, like, the standard green mint Oreos. So I was like, all right. So I got that, and I beat the shit out of that package in, like, 2 days or so. And then I was like, all right, now I'm going to hunt out these other ones and see if they're just as good. But I didn't want to put myself back, because if I got these new joints and they weren't as good as the ones I just banged out a package of, well, then I'd be angry, you know. So I didn't want to take that huge risk. So I got both. And strangely enough, the limited edition peppermint ones were $2.99, and the ones that I was used to, mint Oreos, were $4.99. So now I got both of these things, one costing me more, beat the shit out of the new package. And those are, I really think they're pretty much the same thing. One's got red cream and one's got green cream. I think they're both probably fantastic for your health. And I beat the shit out of the new Oreos, and I think they're no different than the other ones. But, and now I'm like probably halfway through the other package of Oreos I was used to, so now I have to go back and get some more of the cheaper ones. Yeah, so that's more or less my fitness segment for the week, was fucking mint Oreos, and that's that. The thing that I just randomly commented on, because, you know, it brought up another alert on my thing, someone randomly on one of these, like, a bunch of ultra-violent fans, blah, 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 which, I gotta be honest, for the majority of it, the bulk of these people, if you were to just put them into one giant group, like everyone that's in that group, I'd say about 75% of them are fucking just gotta be technically legally retarded. You know, I don't know what it is about the ultraviolent side of things, but it seems to draw in functionally retarded people, at least functional enough to type on their computers. I don't know. You know, and again, that's only 75%. I know many, many, you know, deathmatch fans, ultraviolent fans that are, you know, semi-intelligent people that, you know, at the minimal side, you know, side of it. But someone just posted before, like, this crazy shit that just said, like, can someone post a link to a thumbtack jack match? Like, nothing specific, not like they're really searching for some shit. And I just said, like, why don't you type thumbtack jack into YouTube? And then they responded just now, I'm looking for full match. Like, dude, there's like a fucking 100 full matches on there. I just can't take the level of retardation that I have to deal with if I want to communicate with these bottom feeders, as I don't know. So yeah, what else do I got? Let me see. Oh, you know, I figure we're definitely heading into, you know, this is full-fledged Christmas season, and next week's show, I will be doing a show on Christmas, as I said. I figure, you know, let's get people a little bit in the mood for Christmas. You know, pull the little song. We'll, you know, play a bit of this real quick, and, you know.
It's beginning to look a lot like
Jesus
everywhere you go. Take a look in the 5 and 10, glistening once again with candy canes and silver lanes aglow. It's beginning to look a lot like
Jesus!
Toys in every store, but the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door.
There you go. Hopefully get you a little bit more in the mood. The other thing I forgot completely is last week I got so riled up talking about this fucking, this little rat scumbag that was on, you know, the Facebook telling all motherfuckers and, you know, that shit. I forgot all about my new favorite segment, Jerk Off of the Week. So now I figured this week I'll double up. I'll do two Jerk Off of the Weeks this week. So let's just break right into the first one.
I don't like your jerk off name. I don't like your jerk off face. I don't like your jerk off behavior. And I don't like you, jerk off.
The first jerk off of the week would be Kanye West. This guy, although he's a phenomenal producer, he's a mediocre rapper at best. He's gone out of his way to make statements upon statements upon statements, comparing himself to Jesus, comparing himself to cops, comparing himself to Gandhi, comparing himself to everything that is great when he is nothing but a piece of shit. The guy goes on and on trying to put himself over in the fashion that a rapper would do in a song, which in a song, that works. That's actually what you're supposed to do. In real life, in a sit-down interview, you're a delusional dickhead, and I would gladly give up the producing part that he's worth for him to just be gone altogether, because he's just gone too far. It's enough already. I can't stand him. That's pretty much it. All right, and then I'll hit the other jerk off of the week a little bit later. All right, so I think what I'm going to do now, I'm going to take a quick, another little tiny break, you know, play another little track, Christmas-related track at that, and then I think I want to talk some football, and then I'm going to get into CZW, because I figure I'll stretch this out a little bit and get into, you know, the other thing first. So let me do that. Let me play this other track. Do Sean P in the Christmas mood. Check it.
You're a foul one, Mr. Grinch. You're a nasty, wasty skunk. Your heart is full of unwashed socks. Your soul is full of gunk, Mr. Grinch. The three words that best describe you as...
Fuck Christmas. Fuck this shit. Stick my dick in the box. Fuck this gift. You sleeping after cousin of death. I take every gift under the tree till it ain't none left. I'm a mean one. Call me Mr. Grinch. Unwashed socks and the Glock make niggas flinch. Thief by night, dad the fuck every day. Wash my nuts with your toothbrush you had on display. I don't give a shit, I ain't getting shit. I hate spitting this, plus I hate St. Nicholas. You wake up while I'm taking a shit. That's when I smack blood out your little innocent bitch. Bang. Candy cane ain't no cane in the candy. Just some sugary bullshit, the tree looks fancy. Fuck you and your Christmas tree. I'm the Grinch, you can call me P, motherfucker. Yo, 'twas the night before Christmas and all through the peas. Was a motherfucking thief and his name was P. He still sell drugs and occasionally shoot shit. No ho-ho-hos, but he's saying some new kicks. I be back on Easter, I like to choke rabbits. But now I'm with Rudolph, he got a coke habit. Better believe P wordplay. Almost feel guilty 'cause it's Jesus' birthday.
Yeah, I like that shit a lot, and he put down an ill-ass video for it, too, a little cartoon, like, Grinch video and shit. I thought it was funny as hell. All right, so the week started out with Thursday's December 12th game of the Chargers beating the Broncos. This was a week of a lot of surprises, and this should lend a lot of videotape for some of these big teams going into the playoffs. This should have a lot of, how-tos and ins and outs on how you could really get down on these teams in the playoff, because I'm telling you, it's ramping up. I mean, we are right there. We are absolutely, 2 weeks out. It is time for the playoffs.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs?
Yeah. And for the Broncos, the big bad Broncos, now 11-3 Broncos. So take a loss to the Chargers, 27-20. I mean, this is, kind of telling. I mean, the Broncos were shut out for the middle of the game. 10 points in the first quarter, 10 points in the fourth quarter, and shut out in the second and third. That's a big deal. You're able to put up that type of defensive effort, and there are far, far better teams than the Chargers defensively. So this should, like I said, a lot of these games, including this one, will lend a lot of videotape to the teams that are going to, face off against the Denver Broncos. The Denver Broncos will, almost definitely end up, first round buying it into the second round. But when it comes down to it, these teams are going to have something to study. This is one of the teams that gave an example, had no business playing against the Broncos like that, but they got an example right there, something that you could follow. Manning throwing for a lowly 289 yards, which isn't a horrible day for your average quarterback, but for Peyton Manning, Mr. 400-500 yards, five touchdowns guy, this is, something that's very manageable. Next up, you got the Falcons beating the Redskins. These are two very lowly teams. They actually did not start RG3. There is seriously a problem between Shanahan and RG3, and there's a lot of speculation on what could be, did they bench him because he doesn't like him? Did he bench him because of this? There's people saying things on racism, saying that this guy, when he was in Denver, he actually benched Shannon Sharp. Like, he was talking about more or less saying he could find a better guy, he was trying to, find a guy, and apparently back then it was saying that he didn't like the black dudes, and I don't know if that's the truth. I really don't. For whatever reason, yeah, they have serious problems. The thing is, RG3 is having a horrible season. He needs to grow back out of it. He needs to, I think on field is really the best thing for the dude. You got to go out of your way to protect this guy, because his protection has been really, really bad. He's just been getting annihilated back there. Kirk Cousins comes in and throws for 381 yards. So, I mean, the Falcons might have been the team that RG3 would have been able to pick apart and throw for a bunch of yards. I don't think Kirk Cousins is just that much better of a quarterback. He was 29 for 45, for Christ's sakes, but, 381 yards either way. I think it speaks volumes for, the horrible team that Atlanta is to allow that type of thing out of a quarterback coming in off the bench, I believe starting his first game of the year. RG3 is going to have to be their starting quarterback. They've invested way too much time and money in this guy. I mean, he's only a second-year quarterback. Obviously, growing pains are going to happen, and there's no way that this guy's going to remain like a second string or a bench quarterback. This guy's got a long, long time, to develop, but it's not going to be on the bench. So just crazy shit. But the Falcons ended up edging them out. 27-26. Like I said, battle of the horrible. You got the 3-11 Redskins and the 4-10 Falcons. Then you got the Bears and Browns. It's kind of a big slugfest here. I mean, the 4-10 Browns, I've been saying it all season, they're a better team than their record shows. Playing big football out there, 31 points up on the board. And that's what that's what Campbell is, their quarterback. That's fucking insanity. The Bears putting up 38 points to beat them, 38-31. The Bears don't belong in the playoffs either. Really, the Lions got to get their shit together. because, you know, to have the Bears anywhere near in the running and still being, you know, possibility for a playoff spot, you know, they're talking a bunch of that shit, but, you know, it's that division, and that division is really not showing, you know, great signs. Let me see if I can pull up, actually, to your standings, because it kind of slipped my mind. I got the scores up in front of me, but I don't have the standings. Let me see standings. It's always great radio when I look things up, isn't it? It's my favorite. Anyway, yeah, I mean, Chicago's actually atop of their division at 8-6. Green Bay is second in their division at 7-6, and Detroit being third at 7-7. And honestly, I really still believe Detroit's the best team in that division, you know, record or not. I mean, when they're clicking and you got, you know, Reggie Bush doing what he's doing, Megatron's the best receiver in football. Stafford's had a great year, making some really big plays and having good games. Yeah, I come behind victory with, you know, a gutsy play against the Cowboys, who, you know, of course the Cowboys love to hand people games at the end. I still think that's the team. I mean, for the Green Bay Packers without Aaron Rodgers to be anywhere near the playoff picture at this point in the season is absolutely fucking crazy. And Aaron Rodgers is still not even cleared to play. So he's going into next week. They're going into next week again without Aaron Rodgers, which is crazy. And Detroit's got to pull it up. I mean, we're talking about Chicago now. Big implications. Huge, huge implications on that game. But we'll get into that when we get into those games. But, crazy shit right there. Obviously, you know, anyone who does not win their division in the NFC South, the NFC North and the NFC East will not be in the playoffs. I mean, you're talking about San Francisco and Seattle in the West and New Orleans and Carolina in the South. You're pretty much talking about all four of those teams are going to go to the playoffs. You're going to have, Seattle winning their division, our division. New Orleans and Carolina are tied. So either one of them can win that division. They're actually playing each other this week, which is fucking awesome. I believe they're playing each other this week. Let me see. Yeah, they're playing each other this week, so that's going to be good. But, again, we'll get into the games as we get there. But, you know, a lot of different things have changed. I just honestly don't think the Bears belong in the playoffs, but it's going to be what it's going to be. And I have no problem with, you know, a team like the Bears showing up in San Francisco and us proving that they don't belong in the playoffs. That'd be fine with me. Then you got the Texans pretty easily, 25-3. The Colts have been looking really shaky, and, you know, this is their first time actually, showing some form of dominance. They're, you know, up to 9-5 now. Let me see, what are the Colts? The Colts have clinched their division. I mean, the second-place team in their division is Tennessee at 5-9. So they had a fairly easy division to win, even with, you know, a pretty big slide. And, Indy's a scary team. When they're clicking, they could pretty much beat anybody, but, you know, they've been, like I said, on quite a slide. Texans are one of the worst teams in football. So, that's that. The Dolphins beat the Patriots in another one of those, you know, tricky games. Now the Dolphins find themselves in second place in that division and still contending for a wild card spot. You know, surprisingly, after a really, really bad stretch. But New England's still sitting up top of their division. You know, they're, minus, you know, they go and lose both games closing out this season, and Miami goes and wins both games. And, you know, you can come down to actually Miami winning the division, but that's the unlikely scenario. You know, New England, I think, really only has to pull a win, and the division's theirs. And, you know, that's that. But 8-6, yeah, I mean, they're – I mean, the second-place team in each division, let me see, You got 11-3 Kansas City and 11-3 Denver. You figure whichever one of those does not win the division is going in the first wild card spot. And then the second wild card spot, you got to look at Miami at 8-6, Baltimore at 8-6. You know, there's no AFC South contender whatsoever at 5-9 sitting there. So you got to look at either Baltimore. If Cincinnati drops down, they're 9-5 now. If they drop down, they could wind up wild card. Baltimore could wind up. So, yeah, I mean, it's pretty much going to be between Cincinnati, Baltimore, and Miami for that third, for that second wild card spot, I should say. You know, one of them, Baltimore or Miami, actually winning the division and getting in, and the other team having to contend with those two, Miami, and you know, that's that. So, you know. I mean, San Diego could sneak in there, too. They're 7-7 now. You know, either Baltimore or Miami start tanking and they pull two wins, you know, the Chargers could sneak in. But, you know, we'll see how it pans out. But, yeah, the Dolphins definitely did themselves a little bit of justice pulling that win there against the Patriots. And it looked like another one of those Tom Brady, you know, classics. It looked like he was really going to sneak in there. And you know, he was right down there, you know, within the 20 red zone. And I was just like, oh, here we go with this fucking Tom Brady shit. And he wasn't able to get it done. He was pissed off, too. Like, he doesn't like not fucking winning, which, I mean, no one does. But, yeah, he kind of acts like a bitch. But the Vikings beat the Eagles. You know, and this is the thing here, too, with these faggot-ass motherfucking Eagles. This is the type of shit I was talking about. This is the type of shit I'm talking about. Because I got motherfuckers telling me on the computer, oh, the Eagles are better than the 49ers. You got to be out of your cock-sucking mind. Because, come on, man. Fucking Eagles are now 8-6, but they lost to the Vikings without Adrian Peterson. They lost to the 4-9 fucking Minnesota Vikings. Well, going into that game, they were 3-9. The 3-9 and 1. I'm sorry, they had a tie. 3-9 and 1 fucking Minnesota Vikings without the only player on their fucking team who they can't live without. Like, if they fired every other player on their team and rebuilt, they'd be fucking just the same. They would be no worse than they are this year as long as they kept Adrian Peterson. They got something else going for them. They could only improve. Fucking, they lose, they allow 48 points to the Minnesota fucking Vikings without Adrian Peterson. The Eagles suck. Yeah, Nick Foles throws for 428 yards. Fucking pat yourself on the back, jerk off, because your team allowed fucking 48 points to a team without their star running back. Get the fuck out of here with that Eagle bullshit. You motherfuckers don't belong in the playoffs either, and you should be sucking the Cowboys' dicks for fucking that game up to even let you have a chance at the fucking playoffs. I hope the fucking Eagles squeak into the playoffs just so these faggot motherfuckers can cry as they get fucking sent home and have to watch other teams like the 49ers continue to play fucking football in January. Fucking bastards. Can't stand you. Anyway, that's what happened there. the Seahawks beat the Giants, the horrible New York Giants, 23-0, showing some dominance again after they took their second loss to the 49ers. And, you know, what are you going to do? The Giants have a lot of fucking thinking to do. They have been pretty much sent to their room to think about what they did, and they can come back next year and, you know, really chop it up, see what goes on. 49ers go and beat the shit out of the Bucks. It was a little close for a little bit, but, you know, kind of clicking on all cylinders. You know, Frank Gore put in 86 yards. Yeah, Colin Kaepernick throw for 200. I mean, Vernon Davis just continues to play beast football. We had a couple turnovers. I mean, we really did our thing on all sides of the ball. Our special teams will continue to make plays. Dudes tried some old lateral bullshit. You can't be cute against our fucking against our special teams. You get down and you start trying goofy shit, the San Francisco 49ers will bury you, and you're not getting back from that. You got to play some good traditional football and beat us at just playing football. Some old tricky, goofy shit you're going to get fucking taken advantage of. This team is great on turnovers and pulling points off turnovers. You know, defensive touchdowns and shit like this. I mean, the Bucks, they need some serious shit. This is 49er football, you know, being able to play that type of shit. We're now 10-4 again. You know, people were trying to compare us to teams that just aren't in our fucking league. So we almost wrapped up that wild card spot, but Arizona pulled the win. So we weren't able to, you know, fully wrap that up. But look at the 10-4 49ers team. Yeah, I mean, we're all but wrapping that up. We pulled that win this week, which I can only imagine that we're going to, and Arizona takes the loss. Arizona doesn't even need to take the loss. I think us just pulling the win will give it to us because, I'm pretty sure we pull the win. I know if Arizona takes the loss, they're beat, but we actually closed out the season against Arizona. So if we pull a win this week, they pull a win this week, they're still a game behind. You know, it comes down to us versus them. We're still a game up. The best they could do is tie us, and I think we still might get strength of winner, you know, something like that. But we're right on that fringe. I mean, we just barely didn't clinch that spot. But I like what I'm seeing out of these guys. Crabtree's looking good. You know, our running game's looking solid. Colin Kaepernick's finally starting to look really, you know, comfortable. He's starting to hit these receivers well. Vernon Davis is just playing some of the best fucking ball, you know, a tight end could play out there. He's just leaping over motherfuckers. Our defense is doing what our defense does. And, you got big problems looking at these healthy 49ers going into the playoffs. I mean, we got Mario Manningham, Anquan Boldin, Michael Crabtree back. I mean, that's the receiving core. Add Vernon Davis in there. You got LaMichael James, obviously Frank Gore, you know, putting up another 1,000-yard season. I believe this is 7 in a row. I mean, the dude is he's just a monster. And then, defense, just endless possibilities on, you know, guys that can make plays. And Alden Smith put in 2 sacks in this game. Just, you got a lot to worry about with these 49ers going into the playoffs. So what's up? The Bills beat the Jaguars in a who-gives-a-shit game. You got that. The Chiefs put up 56 points against the Raiders. just beast game. You know what I'm saying? Like, Alex Smith throws for 5 touchdowns. That's what's up. That's the shit right there. That's the team that's trying to show their shit before they go into, because people slept on them. They took a loss to the Broncos twice. They lost to the Chargers, and you're looking at an 11-3 Chiefs team. That's still not to be fucked with. One of the best defenses in the league, a consistent offense, beast run game. I mean, they're definitely nothing to be slept on in that AFC. I far more fear the Chiefs than I do the Denver Broncos, because I mean, they show far more weakness on the defensive side of the ball than the Chiefs do. They might have been beat by the Broncos. I still think the Chiefs are a threat to more teams across the board than the Broncos are. The Panthers beat the Jets 30-20. So again, like I said, this pulls the Panthers tied up with the Saints. The Packers, no Aaron Rodgers, come back and beat the fucking Cowboys. I mean, what can you say? Tony Romo is the king of all choking. He's fucking horrendous. He is the least to be counted on, and I don't know how many Cowboy fans I can hear make excuses for this guy year after year. It's not him, it's the line, it's not him, it's the coach, it's not him, it's the wide receivers. Come on, man. How many fucking picks to close out a game is he going to throw before someone goes, wow, he could be really good, but he's clearly the same guy that's never fucking clutch. This guy has not won a single playoff game. I mean, it's fucking retarded. Again, if you take Aaron Rodgers off the Packers and you can't fucking close out against them, you take Adrian Peterson off the fucking Vikings and you can't close out against them, you're not a good team. You're not. I mean, there's fluke wins and shit, but there's stuff like this that, come on, man. That shit don't make any fucking sense. So, again, with this NFC East, garbage NFC East, and then somebody could fucking win that division and actually be proud of themselves. Because if you don't run away with that bullshit division, you're not that good. You're the best of the worst. That's all you are. Let's be fucking serious. Now, the Cardinals go to overtime with the horrible fucking Titans, which, man, I was hoping that the Titans would just pull it out, but they had all. They played the best football they could for four quarters. They didn't have another quarter in them, so they lost to the Cardinals by a field goal, 37-34, and, you know, going to take another week for the Niners to cinch up that spot. Fuck the Cardinals, too, though. The Rams beat the Saints in another one of these shocking games, and this is what it is, you know. The Saints could have clinched their shit over there. Now that pulls them tied with the Carolina Panthers. They got to go and face. So, you know, big implications there. A lot of these teams are playing spoiler, you know, that being one of them for sure. The Saints, you know, another one of these things that they're given some kind of, you know, videotape on something to do. Put up no points in the first quarter. No points in the second. Well, 3 points, sorry. 3 points in the second quarter. No points in the third quarter, and 13 in the fourth quarter. And that's it. I mean, three quarters of football, they put up 3 points. That's you fucking wave to the playoffs. You get in the playoffs and put out that type of game. Drew Brees can't put more than 3 points on the board in three quarters. You got big problems. I mean, this is the final stretch. So you can't show that type of weakness. It's right around the corner, and guys are going to use that same fucking technique. I know St. Louis has a badass pass rush, but, bro, that's kind of inexcusable. You know, I mean, really going to see how a lot of this rounds out, but guys, like I said, they are providing videotape for the teams that are going to play them in the playoffs. They really are. You know, it's one thing you take a little earlier in the season losses, and then you know, they could use that videotape, but you might have improved. You might have learned from that. You know, you're talking a couple weeks out of the playoffs. I don't know how much you can learn or improve. A lot of that videotape and a lot of that game plan is probably still going to work pretty, you know, pretty actively, especially if you get a defense in there that's better than the Rams, which is not that hard to find, you know, whether they have a good pass rush or not. I would definitely worry. If you're the Saints, you know, you're one of these teams that they're going to limp into the playoffs, you know, good enough record, but start losing to bullshit teams like this. I don't know. The Steelers beat the Bengals. This is another one. The Bengals have no fucking right losing to the Steelers at this point. The Steelers played the best football that they played towards the end of this season, which really does nothing for the Steelers. Only spoils, you know, a couple other teams. And I still think that this may very well just be an audition for what's going to happen next year with Big Ben. Because, I mean, what do you expect that fucking guy to do? He's going to come back for another year here and the Steelers are going to be something to worry about next year? I don't know. You know, this 6-8 team now, there's building to be done. He looked like garbage for a lot of the beginning of the season. He's not able to move the same way he has. He's put up some pretty big games, but, you know, what's it going to be worth? You know, in the offseason, they got to obviously make some moves, and I don't know if it's not in the quarterback position. How many years does he have left as the head of that team if that's not what they do? You know, there's going to be a parting ways, and there's going to have to be something done there is what I'm trying to say. And then you got the Monday Night Football game, and another one. The Ravens beat the Lions. The Lions fucking blow it. Comes down, they lose to a 61-yard field goal. Holy shit. 61-yard field goal that sneaks in the bottom right corner of the post. Man, to lose that fucking game. And like I said, the Lions belong at the top of that division because, man, the Bears are shaky. They've been shaky all year. Their quarterback's been in and out. The Packers don't have Aaron Rodgers for a quarter of the season. How the fuck are they even in contention? That's the Lions losing these bullshit games like this, you know? So that's the sum of it. Let me see. Then I'll go through these next games. When you don't touch the iPad for too long, it fucking goes to sleep. You gotta wake that shit up. All right. Let me see. Picks. All right. So you got Miami at Buffalo. Miami is favored by 2.5 points. I got to go with Miami. Like I said, this final push to get into the playoffs, Miami's got a slim chance here. They got a chance. And they got to beat a team like Buffalo. Buffalo is one of those real bad teams. This is Sunday, so I don't know what the weather's going to be like in Buffalo. We could see another snowstorm. I'm not a fucking meteorologist, so I really don't know what's going on in the Buffalo area for Sunday, but it's going to be a cold motherfucker, I'm sure. Actually, I think they're calling for some ridiculously warm temperatures, at least over here. I don't know if that translates to Buffalo. Again, not a meteorologist. Don't give a shit. Indianapolis at Kansas City. Man, Indianapolis has been up and down. Kansas City is a team. They're favored by 6.5, by the way. I got to go with Kansas City. They're battling Denver to even, you know, win that division. Got to go with the teams. I know there's been a lot of upsets this past week. I got to go with the teams that are supposed to win these games in order to do what they got to do. And, I mean, they fall through with everything, all the incentive in the world. That's on them. But I got to at least side with these guys because, again, they need these games. Minnesota at Cincinnati. I don't know if Adrian Peterson's back or not. Cincinnati's at home. Cincinnati's favored by 7.5. They need this game as well to, you know, continue to hold on. And I'm going with Cincinnati. Denver at Houston. Denver's favored by 10.5 points. They didn't put up what they usually do last week. I got to go with Denver. New Orleans at Carolina. This is tough. Carolina's favored by 3.5 points. I think New Orleans is going to put it on Carolina. The last time they played, I think, was 2 weeks ago. They were able to really take advantage of Carolina's defense. They got to be pissed off coming off of that that St. Louis Rams game beating them. Thing is Carolina is that type of defensive team that could look at that game last week and see what St. Louis did. They could also go back and look at what happened to them, you know, when they played. Carolina could very well bounce back and win this game. It's going to take everything Carolina has, though, I think. Even though they're on the road, I'm still going New Orleans. Tennessee at Jacksonville. Who gives a fuck? Tennessee is favored by 5.5 points. I'm going with Jacksonville at home. Dallas at Washington. Dallas is favored by 3.5 points. I got to go with Dallas on this one. Washington's pretty bad. Kirk Cousins is going to be their quarterback again. I mean, Dallas could just kiss their playoff hopes goodbye. You know, they don't win this game. I'm pretty sure they're not quite knocked out yet, but I mean, they're right on that fucking border there. Yeah. Cause it's between those two teams and who's going to win that division, the Cowboys or the Eagles, just fucking horrendous teams, both sides. So yeah, I got to go with Dallas on this one. Cleveland at the Jets. The Jets are favored by 2.5 points. I'm going to go with Cleveland on this one. Tampa Bay at St. Louis. St. Louis is favored by 5.5 points. Coming off that big win at home. Ah, man. I think I'm actually going to go with Tampa Bay on this one. New York Giants at Detroit. Detroit's favored by 9.5 points. This is a team that needs every win out there, and if you can't pull it against the Giants, you don't belong winning. You don't belong going anywhere near the playoffs if you can't beat the fucking Giants in a home stretch when you need to win. 9.5, I'm not sure, but I got to go with Detroit here. I got to think Megatron pulls in a lot of balls. No homo. Arizona at Seattle. See, this is the game where I do believe Arizona goes home. This is where Seattle kind of helps us into the playoffs, because Arizona at Seattle. Seattle's favored by 10.5 points, but Seattle at home's a motherfucker. So I gotta go with Seattle on that one. No bullshit. Pittsburgh at Green Bay. Green Bay is still without Aaron Rodgers. They're at home. They're favored by 2.5. They've been playing, you know, above their means, but so is Pittsburgh. I'm going with Pittsburgh. Oakland at San Diego. San Diego is favored by 10.5 points. That's a lot of points, but the Oakland Raiders are playing terrible football. San Diego's pulled actually pretty big wins against a couple big teams. I got to go with San Diego winning this one. New England at Baltimore. New England is – no, Baltimore is favored by 2.5 points. Usually following a game like they had last week and losing and Brady being so angry, they come back and Belichick finds a way to just bury another team to make a point. I think New England goes into Baltimore and puts a beating on the Ravens. Chicago at Philadelphia at the faggot-ass Eagles. The Eagles are favored by 3.5 points. I believe Chicago sends these guys home sad. I don't know. I think Chicago is going to win this game. I don't think either one of them belong in the playoffs, but, I mean, big playoff implications there. Because, you know, Chicago, I think, is still sitting at the top of their division. The Eagles are still looking like they're around the top of their division. These are two horrible teams to try to win their horrible division. And big implications here. Atlanta at San Francisco. San Francisco is favored by 12.5 points. And you know I got my boys. The thing here, too, man, is this is Monday Night Football. This is, and before anyone says anything, I don't think I could sing or anything like that. That was just new. This is actually the farewell to Candlestick Park. This is the 36th Monday Night Football game the Candlestick Park has hosted since opening in 1971. If it sounds like I'm reading, it's because I am. Most of any NFL stadium in history to date. This will be our last home game in Candlestick Park. This is it. So prime time against the lowly Atlanta Falcons. The farewell to the stick. San Francisco headed towards the playoffs, playing the Atlanta Falcons. It's going to be something else. There's going to be an emotional night, you know, closing the doors of that stadium, actually leaving San Francisco, going to Santa Clara the following year. You know, beautiful new stadium and everything, but it's going to be something else. And, of course, I'm going with my dudes, and I expect them to win by double digits for sure. Going to be very interesting. So, That's that. And a Monday Night Football game, which is good, because I get to, you know, watch that shit. So I think that's all I got. Hold on. Just reading something I shouldn't be reading. All right. So I'm going to take another break, come back, talk some CZW and whatnot. So let me see what else I got. All right, I think I got all right, let me play this.
Yeah. one time, yo. Watch how I kick it around slow with the slimes, though. Fleet of Suburbans and Tahoes. Time to push out, niggas are back, the tools out. Word to King Tub, we shaking, they taking their boobs out. Bitches frantic, the fuck with a nigga, I say it best. Bring your girl, shorty, both, you could come do a taste test. Now they both try to play, though. I love the way they handle me, could do this every day, though. Let them suck it all up out of me. Let them loose, they come back and do it the same way. To make them sickle down a bit while they give me their ashtray. While they also bring a nigga that money is payday. What the fuck, nigga?
Ain't no way in the world shit ain't banging through your speaker while we fucking shit up. My chain hanging and we had to build a tilt. What's up? This shit is ringing, and in case you didn't know, it's the abstract and the dragon. Boom, bap, original rap, 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 rap. Boom, bap, original rap, rap, rap. Bitch, the dragon is back.
Oh no, with the abstract rapping and letting the bass go. Then we blaze those, making them black in the disco. With a fistful of money, we making them piss though. It's official, when I come through, my click holds shit to let off and let the shit blow.
Then we all go get this money and pack the pace show. Then we black from the front to the back. They know how the spot get back in the cockpit.
This shit is not a secret, niggas know how we lock shit and how they flock shit. When we come and we make them salute niggas back, they ratchet pop they shit in the club and shoot niggas like, see, we back with the bang bang and the boom bap, nigga, we give you the thang thang. Yo, come on, I know you wanted to rhyme, it's my fault, but I'm excited about the slap you made, bringing the onslaught. Mr. Abstract, I see you done dug her back in the vault. Yeah, we back up in the kitchen and giving them what they want. Yeah, we pack shit, thinking the niggas in banquets, get your blankets. Most of you niggas be practiced, just reverse over the Hershes and line up the caskets. A lot of rapper niggas actors and move like an actress. We about to hit you with the heat, cause we know when you're anxious. And yo, come on, let's fuck it up and take them through the track list.
Track list, track list. Track list.
All right. Well, let's talk about a little bit of side shit again. You know, beyond the KJ Death thing just yet. I'm actually gonna do a couple little things real quick. I watched the Diva show again. I think that was the finale of the season until that show comes back. You know, it continues to be a really ridiculous train wreck that makes me just think the absolute worst of a few females that work there. It's just ridiculous. The one thing that bothers me, too, it always bothers me when pieces of shit get, like, a lot of credit online and, like, people start, you know, really drooling over people who are just complete wastes of life. Like, for instance, Nikki Bella is a vapid cunt. I mean, there's no way to describe her that's more accurate, I don't think. Maybe there is. I'm not a wordsmith. You know, I don't have complete mastery of the English language. But I think vapid cunt is the best way that I can phrase it where you understand where, you know, I'm coming from. Because she is just fucking... She has no substance. She has nothing other than to just be like a materialistic gold-digging whore. And then they try to make her into some kind of sympathetic character, like, why doesn't John Cena want to have babies and marry me? Like, first off, now, you know, they beat around the bush and said, no, that's not true and this and that, whatever. Supposedly he was having affairs and stuff that led to his divorce. Well, she was pretty much his next girlfriend, at least publicly. It's not out of the realm of possibility that he was cheating on his wife with her to begin with. Regardless of the situation, he just left the marriage to fuck other people. So you think the next thing, his marriage, in which he did not have children, to fuck other people. So who would think for 1 second that the next move is going to be, I'm going to leave my wife and go impregnate somebody? That's the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard, number one. Number two, like I said, she's a vapid cunt. Who wants to keep this person in their life forever? People, you know, they start drooling over her online. Oh, I would have babies with her. No, you wouldn't. Not on purpose, you wouldn't. I mean, you're pretty much talking in the realms of you would fuck her. Okay, great. He's already doing that. He doesn't need to also lock into a lifetime contract where he loses a bunch of his own money to this pig of a woman. He doesn't. He doesn't need to. And it's not going to happen. She's not going to be his girlfriend forever. I know you guys are really, you know, getting drawn into this show. Like, he's such a bad guy. Why doesn't he want her babies? Like, get off of it. She is one of many, many chicks that he's going to wind up with. That's just, I mean, come on, man. And he has fucking millions upon millions of dollars. He's got to be making probably close to, if not the most money in the WWE. Why the fuck would he be locking into some shit? And he's being like a straight up businessman about shit. Like, oh, you coming in my house? All right. I got this contract that says you ain't going to pull no wild shit. And if I need you to fuck out, you're going to get the fuck out. It is what it is. You know what I mean? That's just, you know, I don't know. People might think I'm insensitive or something like that, but come on. Let's not pretend like this chick has any type of substance to her. Brie actually acts like a fucking human sometimes. You know what I mean? Like her relationship with Daniel Bryan for, you know, whatever is portrayed on TV, you know, half the shit's a work anyway, but from what the relationship looks like on TV, she has somewhat of substance. Like, she could look at, like, a sunset or trees or some shit and be like, oh, that's beautiful. Where the other one's like, where's the sauna? This is bullshit. I don't know where the tanning beds are. There's no diamonds in the woods. Like, this fucking bitch. It's just, you know, you could tell one is not a human and one has some human there. So that's just two completely different sides of the coin as far as I'm concerned. I don't know. I can't see anything there. That other, the other Funkadactyl chick, you know, not the one that's with the Uso, the other one, she's a worthless piece of shit too. And she says some of the corniest things that I've ever heard in my life. I've never heard anyone say the phrase bomb.com, but I immediately want like lots of people to pay. Like, I don't know. I can't fucking stand it. I can't stand half the shit that comes out of her mouth. She's just one of the corniest fucking people I've ever heard. So she's another one I can't stand. But, you know, I mean, the show keeps my attention, I guess. And, you know, that's why they do it. And they continue to make a big spectacle. But, you know, they'll be back next year, whatever. That was just my random thing there. You know what else? I was listening to Howard Stern the other day, and he was talking about in Africa, apparently they do executions. Now, I don't know if this is necessarily the government, but people within Africa execute people by putting tires over the people, over their necks and bodies, and setting the tires on fire and killing them that way, which to me just sounds like the most gruesome fucking thing ever. Like, I don't even know where you come up with some shit like that. It's fucking insanity. Which is, I mean, you go from that to like, hey, this guy killed three kids, be like, yeah, but in this state we don't allow any of that, you know, no death penalty here. And like, they're fucking strapping people up with tires and lighting them on fire over there. Holy shit, that's insanity. But the only reason I thought about that too, is because I want to do my second jerk off of the week. And let me find my fucking song. Here we go. All right.
I don't like your jerk off name. I don't like your jerk off face. I don't like your jerk off behavior. And I don't like you, jerk off.
George fucking Zimmerman. This fucking guy kills a fucking kid. Everybody who fucking loves guns and hates black people goes and gets on their fucking high horse and starts talking about this fucking guy who's defending his space, this and that, he's standing his ground. What do you expect him to do? The kid was a thug, blah, 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 blah. Then they get this fucking guy off, they hand his fucking guns back, he proceeds to fucking have his wife leave him, drunk drive, fucking hold a gun to his new girlfriend's fucking face, and all of a sudden it's like, oh wait, maybe this guy's fucking nuts. Now this motherfucker's got a painting of some bullshit that's selling on fucking eBay for $100,000. He's a jerk off, and anybody who's paying for that is a complete fucking jerk off. Absolutely. I can't stand this motherfucker. You know, and I think the African tire execution should definitely apply to this guy. I think we should definitely strap tires on this guy and set him on fire. All right. I'm going to play another track, quick bathroom break, and come back and, do the CZW thing.
Yeah, listen. These niggas can't write, right? Plus they pants tight, and they sweater small. Fuck it, I'm better, y'all. Go against the guard, that's the wrong move. What you want, Paul?
This is a celebration, bitches. I just got bag, mistletoe in my back pocket. Kiss my ass.
Oh, no.
Can we do a track?
No, quit hollering, I'm shitting.
Niggas trash, I'm whack toast intolerant.
My gun pop, niggas. One shot, nigga. I run out of shells and straight unbox, niggas. Fuck rap riddles, get riddles with shells, yo. I'ma beat you a bitch like Pickle the Elmer.
My taste buds and your taste buds will never taste buds together. Since your taste buds, we tasting buds. But niggas homo thuggin' it. Clown big red bozo nose rubbin' it. Re-optrain, change your mind, you almost was a bitch.
Pussy, you tall ass niggas. This nigga got a fucking mandate.
This niggas like disrespecting the game. Making my niggas disrespecting you lame.
Fuck outta here, man. Looking like Leroy from Fame and shit.
Fuck outta here.
That be your sweatpants, they got little pockets, you bitch.
Niggas ain't got no respect for the game, so we ain't got no respect for you, lame.
Rap ain't selling, crack ain't selling, so it's back to armed robberies. My bad sting melons, take it back to D-Cell, back out the hammer fam. I ain't talking hammer blam fam, I'm talking hammer damn. Call an ambulance.
No, fuck that, I'm letting the cannon blam. Had that man smoking like this Amsterdam. Damn it, man. I go in your hood and get love, huh? You go in your hood and get mugged, bitch bastard. Don't go to Sun Crib, his shit bug. Why you tap this chump? Got a mic in his pimp cup.
Got a mic in the pimp cup, catch it right from the fist chump. Leave a non-smoker choking with lighting this bitch up. Still bozos, get knocked the fuck out, Miguel Cotto. First dab Judah, I'm worse, pass me the Luger. Bop, bop.
Stupid, your whole crew snake, dang it, you'll stay. You need some new brain, nigga, and some toothpaste.
Fuck out of here, this thing got Gucci Mane front, man, like grass in his mouth, ass nigga. Fuck out of here, dude.
This nigga's like disrespecting the game, me and my nigga disrespecting you lame.
Umbilical cord, man. Anything you do is bummed out, man. From the bootleg shoes to that nasty ass Ed Hardy sweater.
Niggas ain't got no respect for the game, so we ain't got no respect for you, play.
It's big drama,
nah.
It's little drama. Lip gloss stains on my dick from little mama. When the fuck Rihanna ain't used no umbrella. With the bitch have twins, we naming them both Ella. Ella. Hey, I'm just joking, maybe I'm not. I'm just smoking, maybe it's pot. Maybe it's coke, maybe it's both. Only way to tell, motherfucker, huh? Take it in tote.
Hell no, son. You can keep the coke. I'ma stick the reefer smoking hood, bitches, keep you cold.
The way it is.
I'm a slim thug, slim and shady. But I'm not from Houston, not that white boy from Tracy. But I'm worldwide circus, fuck chicks, but I didn't know that was your bitch I caught. Rapper, acting like I stole Beyonce, no, something, no, that's just a Beyonce, ho.
Chump, look at him. That's your girl?
This nigga's like disrespecting the game, me and my nigga disrespecting you, hey.
Hey, who say so, my nigga? Yeah.
Niggas ain't got no respect for the game, so we ain't
him.
Got no Bitch respect for you, Blaine.
All right, I guess this is another little Christmas spirit, and leading into the CZW thing, I'll play another Christmas song.
Jesus!
The snowman was a jolly, happy soul, with a corncob pipe and a button nose and two eyes made out of coal.
Jesus!
See, the snowman is a fairy tale, they say. He was made of snow, but the children know how he came to life one day. There must have been some magic in that old silk hat they found. For when they placed it on his head, he began to dance around. Oh,
Jesus!
The snowman was alive as he could be. And the children say he could laugh and play just the same as you and me.
DJ's not Zandig.
CCW, name the law, once again, prepare for war.
CCW,
I'm for not, that's out of here.
Because in CCW, we do things how we do it in the real world, just like all of you.
Well, ain't that a motherfucker.
All right, so the show started out with Maven Bentley coming out with Tommy Dreamer. And, you know, he comes out and he calls Lyle. Lyle Williams from, you know, he was a guest on the show. He takes pictures monthly for years now for CCW and Chikara and many places. You know, and pretty much announced that Lyle is going to be, for the most part, retiring, especially from the big shows. He already is kind of broken his thing, saying, yeah, he's still doing small shows and, you know, the benefit shows and the this and that. He's already trying to work as many shows into his retirement as he possibly can, because that's the type of guy Lyle is. But no better more deserving guy than Lyle to be respected and, you know, to be given some kind of accolade. You know, amongst him, you know, trying to step away a little bit and, you know, take care of his knees or, you know, really banged up for years, you know, up and down and all that. And, you know, I just can't say enough about Lyle. He's an absolute class act. He takes phenomenal pictures. So first off, what he does out there, is just, I mean, the best way that you can capture these moments, these matches, these, you know, the promo pictures in the back, the, you know, I mean, you see so many covers of these CZW DVDs that are Lyle's pictures and, you know, pictures on the back. And, yeah, and like I said, you can't say enough about what a great guy this is. He's always just been tremendous to me. I mean, came on my show, and I definitely didn't ask for him to put me over, and he still did that. And, I mean, he's just a great guy. You know, he'd always come over and talk to anyone who's there all the time. Has probably had some form of conversation with Lyle. He's the type, he sees you often enough, he'll come over and say hi, because he's just an overall really nice guy. He's just a great dude, fantastic photographer, and yeah, I mean, his pictures are going to be highly missed as far as these big shows, these Cage of Deaths and everything else go, but, you know, what's best for the guy's health is best. But I'm really glad to see that he was honored, you know, got himself a plaque. He had Tommy Dreamer present it to him, which is even better, you know, having a guy that, you know, is well-known and respected in the wrestling business be able to actually present him with the award. I mean, it's really cool. So I'm really glad that they did that, and I hope Lyle definitely takes care of himself. So they started out with that. And following that, surprisingly enough, which, you know, later on we kind of, you know, figured out why, they started out with the CZW World title match of Chris Hero versus Drew Gulak. And fantastic match to start the show. Definitely a way to get the crowd going. I liked the match a lot. It was hard-hitting. It was, you know, kind of what you would expect out of these two. I mean, there was a lot of stuff kicked out of yeah, that was like one thing that was a little strange to me is, I mean, you know, it is what it is. I mean, this is kind of the way that everything's gone to this point. But, I mean, the Roaring Elbow Hero's been finishing with. He's been, you know, finishing with a lot of, the, you know, the Knockout Elbow thing. He had the Hero's Welcome he hit Drew with. I mean, kicking out of everything and stuff. But, I mean, great match. Really good match. Drew retains and continues his great title run. And, yeah, just good stuff. And we actually learned later, if you read up or on anything, Chris Hero pretty much wrestled that match, jumped in his car, and hauled ass down to the fucking Hammerstein Ballroom and ran in after the main event on ROH at the final battle. So Chris Hero was doing as much as he could and making as much of an impact as he could on the biggest shows of many companies, even in the same day. So Hero's definitely, you know, back making an impact everywhere he possibly can. And like I said, Gulak's title run has been just great to this point. So that's that. Followed up by Masada coming out with a, you know, quick stare down with Gulak. So I guess you can imagine that Masada will be back to, you know, challenge him again for that title. And, you know, before you know it. Following that, they had the six-man. Now, the six-man was a six-man, then turned into a different six-man, then turned into a four-man, and then back to a six-man. This was, I believe, and I'm going to fuck this up, but initially, I believe it was Latin Dragon, Andrew Everett, Chuck Taylor, AR Fox, Chris Dickinson, and Caleb Conley. Yes, that was the original match. I didn't fuck that up. Now, Caleb Conley went out. I think he was injured or something, but wrestling elsewhere. I don't know. He went out. All right. He went out, and then Dickinson got pulled out to wrestle Davey Richards. Now, this could be backwards or whatever, but the replacements for that were Willie Mack and Tony Nese. Okay. Willie Mack had some kind of situation happen where his flight wasn't paid for. He was supposed to go to the Maximo show, I think the day before or something like that. Something happened with his flight. I don't know. There's people bashing, you know, the Maximos. I have no idea what happened there, so I'm not even – that's not my deal. So he wasn't able to make it over. And then amongst that also, Latin Dragon had gotten injured, and he couldn't compete. So then it became a four-way of Andrew Everett, Tony Nese, AR Fox, and Chuck Taylor. So you had all four. So that was just – it was just going to be a four-way. And at that point I said, okay, God – damn it, no more changes. Let's just leave this a four-way. This is going to be a great four-way. All right, well, then I hear before the show, I think a day before the show or something like that, Bandito Jr. is unable to wrestle. He is injured, and that kind of leaves the Beaver Boys wide open, and it kind of leaves Azrael wide open. So now I'm starting to go, oh, Jesus Christ. Because CZW, one of their favorite things to do is if one match falls apart, they just jam the rest of another match into it. So that's kind of what I was like, ah, fuck. I just more or less wanted there to be some kind of game plan going into the match, because if they had a four-way lined up, the guys knew what, you know, was going to be going to get there that night and be like, okay, these guys are in there too. It's like, you know, I just didn't want the chemistry to get all scurry and stuff. Just wanted a really good match. And yeah, I'll get into that in a second. But, so sure enough, and, you know, they announced this is a scramble six-way, so I'm like, they did it. They fucking did it. Azrael's music hits, so I'm like, well, there's Azrael, sure enough. And then fucking Joe Gacy comes out. I'm like, what the fuck is he doing here? I mean, he wasn't booked on the fucking card. I mean, well, at least wasn't advertised on the card. He wasn't part of this match at any incarnation of the fucking six-way, four-way, three-way. He wasn't injured. He wasn't in a different match that needed to get switched around. Where the fuck did Joe Gacy come from? So I'm like, oh, God damn it, this guy. Because everybody knows I love fucking Joe Gacy matches so fucking tremendously much. And I'm like, this is fucking shit, man. And so anyway, the match goes on. The match is crazy. Absolutely insane. Action everywhere. Honestly, Joe Gacy didn't do bad for himself. You know, with all these super high-caliber athletes in the match, he really didn't do bad for himself. The match was bananas. I mean, what more can you expect out of, you know, that amount of talent in the ring? you know, Azrael, Andrew Everett, A.R. Fox, Chuck Taylor, Tony Nese. Just insanity. And like I said, Gacy didn't do bad for himself. But then they put Gacy over. Again, I don't get it. Like, you got all this tremendous fucking talent, and then you put the guy who you didn't even advertise on the card, on the – like – there wasn't, like, a spot open, like, and a mystery something. And then the mystery guy won. It was like no one ever mentioned anything about Joe Gacy, and then Gacy's in it, and then Gacy wins it? Like, I have no idea where that goes with that. They continually try to, like, pointlessly push Joe Gacy. On a side note, I watched the Sammy Callahan I'm going to have to, like, mark my spot in my brain here because I'm going to mention something else here. But I watched the Sammy Callahan shoot that he did before he went to Florida. This is like he had like just the RVD match left and then went to Florida after that. So it was like right, you know, not too long ago. But he mentioned himself too that he feels Joe Gacy just has the worst luck because he was supposed to be pushed in this, and then the push stopped. He was supposed to be pushed here. And I think Joe Gacy has the best luck because he's gotten a tremendous amount of opportunities to be pushed where not me or any other fan that's not related to him or friends with him already ever thought he should be pushed. No one asks for that. No one wants to see that. It's such a forced push on every facet. It really is, but I mean, I guess there's enough people in the business that just really feel that this guy has been slighted and that, like, he deserves some kind of opportunities. I personally don't see it. I really don't. But on that side note that I was saying, this was another interview. I'm not going to go into a whole thing about it, but this is another interview conducted by that little shitbag ref that I would like to see cover, you know, wrapped in tires and set on fire. And that's my new thing. Now that I've heard that happens, people I really hate, I'd like to see, you know, wrapped in tires and set on fire. Why not? Just as another, you know, example of proof on why he's a horrendous interviewer and why I have no idea. He must have, like, fucking blackmail dirt on everybody in the business for him to be getting these opportunities. It's insane. I mean, RF... I don't know. I don't know what the fuck he's doing that he's getting these spots. But a Smart Mark video, I think this one was. But he does the same shit with RF. I don't know which one it was for, honestly. He talks to Sammy, and he's talking about how Sammy lost his mother. And Sammy's saying, you know, how terrible it was to him because, you know, his family means so much and this and that. Brett asks a follow-up question. So do you wish your mom was, like, around now to see what you're going to? What the fuck do you think the answer to that question is? It's like, nah, I'd rather she wasn't. This is fine. I know I just got over saying how upsetting it was and how, like, my family means so much to me, but do I wish she was around now? I'm not sure. What kind of fucking question is that? Okay, anyway, back to the CZW. So there was that. Then you had, like I said, Gacy wins playoffs. Freight Train versus Greg Excellent. Now, this, I really like this. I think Freight Train is absolutely hilarious. Greg is obviously hilarious and tremendously, you know, talented. You know, he had his mom out there doing, you know, the shtick that she's been doing, you know, especially on Cage of Deaths. I thought it was very entertaining. I definitely want to talk a little bit about the Freight Train thing and about, you know, some people say you shouldn't be out there. Some people say that they don't like it. Some people say the $5 wrestling's disrespectful. Masada went on his shoot interview and said that he wants to hit a motherfucker in the head with a barbed wire bat and make them fucking retarded because if they think that shit's entertaining, making fun of fucking retards. I think he said something. I'm paraphrasing, but something very similar to that. And my thing is this. a guy like Freight Train, if it's his dream to be a wrestler, to be in a professional wrestling ring, to walk out amongst fans, to actually get in the ring and wrestle, be paid, be booked, be on a card, be on a DVD, be on TV, be on an iPay-per-view, be on any of these things that he's on, if it wasn't for the $5 wrestling concept and for, the idea of the comedy match being put, applied to it, he would never have that opportunity. Like, no one would seriously book the guy in a match trying to be serious, and that would not be a dream fulfilled, ever. I mean, to do it, and he does get all of that out of that, and he's thrilled to be out there. This isn't a guy that they just fucking kidnapped out of a Walmart and said, dude, get in a ring, like, fucking put some tight shit on and get out there. Like, this dude wants to be a wrestler. This dude wants to be in the ring. He wants to be, in front of a crowd and all of this, and this is what he's getting. I mean, we get the entertainment that comes off of whether we're laughing at him or whatever the case is. This is what he wants to do, and he's getting to live his dream here. And I think it's great for those reasons, you could hate it or love it or whatever. I'm not, I'm not a huge $5 wrestling fan or anything like that. I don't own any of their DVDs or anything like that. But I do enjoy, what Freight Train does in the ring. I mean, his offense is just hilarious. And I actually want to see someone that wrestles Freight Train, and maybe it's happened before because I haven't seen that much of it. I've seen I went to one of those horrible PWS shows, and he was there. And then I've seen him at CZW this time, maybe like one other time online or something. But I want to see someone sell his offense like death, like Dolph Ziggler sell everything he does, just like fucking throw themselves backwards, fucking backflip bumps off of some of his shit. I think that could be the funniest thing ever. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's just something that strikes me there. But his match was great, really entertaining, really funny, and exactly what I expected. Like I said, when they booked this in place of the Pepper Parks thing, I would much rather see this than see Pepper Parks and Greg Excellent. So I'm glad for it. I like the dude, and that's that. Juicy Product versus the Blackout. Blackout retained their titles. I like this match. I thought it was really good. A lot of good points to this match. The Juicy Product, which just fuck it. You got to, like, say no homo after you review these guys, you review these guys' match. The Juicy Product is good, no homo. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. But anyway. They're really talented dudes. Both of them are really talented. I like their work out there. Super young. They're only going to get better and better, too. I thought this worked well. A lot of cool spots in the match, too. Ruckus hit a cutter on the I'm losing the names. Dunn, right? Isn't that his name? Jason. Yeah, I think so. He hit a cutter on him, and he took just like a headstand bump on it. The shit was – it was great looking. Another spot in the match. G's hit – now, normally, honestly, I got to be straight up about this. Normally, I hate that face buster G's does because a lot of times the way it looks, it can go either way. Like, that was either a rock bottom or it was a face buster. Like, if G's did that same move – and didn't get up, and the other dude sprung up and threw his hands up in the air, you'd be like, oh, that dude just spiked G's and shit. Because, I don't know, just the way it's always gone, I've always felt like, just really didn't like it. But the way that he did it in this match, G's, like, really jumped. Like, he leaped at the dude, caught him, and face-bust him. And I thought it looked the best it ever looked by the way he pulled it off in this match. I just want to point that out. I did like the way that looked there. I liked the match. I thought it went down really well. G's wins it with a stomp, vicious fucking stomp on the dude. And I liked it. They retained the titles. Next matchup was Kimberly versus Christina Von Erie. A lot of interference in this match. I wasn't so big on the amount of interference. Everything they were doing in the ring was really good. You know, the interference, they worked it, you know, obviously, you know, the heel gimmick of her having the campaign with her, her doing her thing there. It worked. I mean, there wasn't anything about it that didn't make it work. But I think, I mean, these two girls would have been absolutely fine just doing everything they were doing in the ring and just putting together a really, really good match out of it, because I thought it was really good either way. They did a lot of good stuff in it. And then after the match, they did a spot, you know, Christina freaks out, pulls the skewers out of her jacket and stabs Kimberly in the head with them. So skewers are, which you really didn't expect that. So obviously, you know, the blood marks popped and, you know, people really got over with a lot of people. But, I thought it was cool. Like I said, the match standing alone without that, I liked a lot. And then that just added to it. So now it's, you know, just going to continue this feud and ramp it up even more. And then you have, you know, the campaign being against that type of stuff and, you know, Christina Von Erie. Plus, you know, you got that tie-in too where Masada's going at Drew's title, back at Drew's title he used to hold. And you got Kimberly, you know, and Christina Von Erie going out of it. So, you know, eventually I'm going to see, you know, intergender tag match most likely happening. You're going to see, you know, those one-on-one matches happening and, you know, interaction, you know, across the board, because, you know, it makes sense that it all links up. So, I thought it was really good. Then you had the Beaver Boys versus the Colony. This was a really good match. I thought the Colony was not advertised. Obviously, it was the Beaver Boys versus Four Loko, Murder, Inc., what the fuck are they called? Murderer's Row. Yeah, and not the Ja Rule joint. This was good. Like I said, they weren't advertised, so it was cool to see them thrown in there, and I thought it was a good match. John Silver really, really gets over big with me, and the crowd as well, just as a whole. The dudes, I mean, he's got intensity. He's got tremendous intensity. He plays like this little short big man that just fucking launches people around, and he's got some really good shit. I like what he does out there. The one thing that was kind of weird to me, and I know it was kind of, I think, last minute or whatever, them booking the Colony, is, and again, I like the Juicy Product normal blackout match. I don't really need to say that every time. Blackout match, I really liked it. But, you know, with the blackout having the continuous thing with the portal, it would have made sense that if they could have booked the Colony, had them do that and continued like the, you know, G's yelling fuck your car on his, you know, on his promos and calling people out and everybody with masks and trying to rip the masks off. It would have made sense for them to go up against the Colony at Cage of Death, you know what I mean? And then continue that same exact thing, which, you know, could still happen in the future, especially opening the door to booking them. And again, I know it was last minute. Maybe that wasn't available before. Who knows? But, it's just nitpicking, like I said, on, you know, what I think storyline would have made a little more sense. Because they kind of threw the Juicy Product thing at the blackout kind of randomly. But it worked, you know. Both of the matches were really good. Like I said, only nitpicking on storyline, whatever, because both of the matches were quality. So that was that. Next match was Chris Dickinson versus Davey Richards. This shit was, to me, the fucking match of the night. You know, obviously you have super crazy bump shit in the main event. You had a lot of other really good matches, but Chris Dickinson versus Davey Richards was super fucking hard-hitting. Just badass match. I mean, they really beat the shit out of each other. Now, obviously, you know, the big surprise on the main event, you know, it was a big surprise and everything like that. But I think, like the biggest pop that I had through the show, I popped fucking huge for that that handspring turned into a fucking burning hammer. Davey Richards, if anyone didn't see it, did one of those handspring off the ropes, and he's supposed to do, like, turnaround kick. You know what I mean? Like, I think Loki does some shit like that, and, like, he does it. Where he does the handspring off the ropes and then does like a, you know, like Trouble in Paradise, fucking Kofi shit like that. So he goes for that. And as he jumps and turns, Dickinson catches him upside down on his fucking shoulders and hits the burning hammer. I fucking marked out for that spot. I mean, I that shit was off the fucking chain. It was like, that was some shit. That's the type of shit I like, man. Like, that type of crazy athleticism is that just kind of comes out of nowhere in a match. That's the shit that's going to pop me every time. I mean, you don't necessarily need to go through 18 fucking flaming barbed wire light tube tables in order to get my attention. You hit some fucking handspring into a burning hammer shit, I'm fucking losing it. You know what I mean? So, I mean, that shit right there, that was the shit. The lights were going fucking batty the whole match. And, I mean, that, you know, obviously it was fucking whack. I mean, it was just like the fucking ring lights went out and like part of them came back on and maybe some of the other shit looked fucking crazy. Like they were having all sorts of light difficulties. Obviously had enough light regardless for it to not ruin it because I was able to stay with the whole thing. A little dimmer in parts of the match, but yeah, that match was fucking awesome. And I got to thank whoever, you know, actually booked that because there was a big decision. People didn't know, you know, what was going to be booked. They just announced Davey Richards. They had to pull someone out of that card, you know, out of that that big six man and shit, you know, and they kind of put it up on the I think on the Twitter or some shit, that, you know, who do you want to see, and you know, there were some people with A.R. Fox and this and that, and I don't think the A.R. Fox match, nothing against that dude, but I don't think the A.R. Fox match would have delivered anywhere near what Dickinson and Davey did out there. Those two fucking killed it, and I just loved the match. So yeah, that was that. Next match was DJ, Biff Music, and Niall Sozio versus the Chris Nevaeh, all that OI4K. I really didn't like this match at all. Like, I had said during the match too that a lot of people liked on the Facebook. I said DJ has the charisma of my fish tank if I remove the fish, and I truly believe that. He enters the ring and it just sucks all the energy out of my viewing experience. It really does, and I know I'm like, I'm exaggerating to a certain extent to say that. I'm dead serious. Myself, my girl Nina, and I had my friend Corey over, who, you know, came to many, many CZW shows with us. And I haven't seen her for a little bit, but she came over to watch the iPay-per-view with us. And I'm dead serious. Our attention switched during that match many times. Watching my blue African cichlid move rocks out of a cave in the fish tank to the front of the tank because he picks them up in his mouth, swims out of the cave, and then spits them where he wants them. He'll make like these huge mounds and shit. My attention was more watching that fish do what he was doing than what DJ Hyde was doing in the ring. Like, my attention was more drawn towards that shit. I couldn't do it. And I like the majority of guys in that match, you know, minus DJ. I can't, he's another one of these, I just can't stand his ring work. I just can't. There's nothing about it that I like. He's got just such an awkward, life-sucking ability in the ring that just, He thinks it's a heel thing, but it's not. I just can't stand his work. I don't want to see him work. I don't care if you put him up against the biggest face in the company. I don't give a shit. I don't want to see it. So anyway, hopefully that, you know, the OI4K thing is done up against them. Actually, and two, like the finish to the match, they booked this dumb shit where Nevaeh is supposed to hit him with a fucking chair. So Nevaeh, I mean, come on, man. First off, and it's nothing against her, but what do you expect? The month before this, you had a Night of Infamy show where you had Matt Tremont turn heel and absolutely destroy Danny Havoc with a chair. So the next month, you build a cap off a feud and have a woman supposed to chair shot the owner of the company to make an impact. That should have been practiced fucking 10 times. You should have had to take off-camera fucking chair shots just to make sure that that shit would come through vicious enough. Because clearly it didn't. Like, the fucking crowd flipped out. That chair shot, they were like, oh, fuck that. And then she did it again where, you know, the chair wrapped around his head and shit or whatever. And, you know, it worked for what it was to end the match, but clearly a bad, bad fucking call on what the finish should have been there, because it looked like garbage. And like I said, the month after seeing a guy destroy a guy's head with a chair shot, that's hard to top. I mean, you guys put yourself in these situations where you're like, all right, here's what you guys like. Bam, crowd's like, oh, shit. People on the internet, god damn, you see that chair shot? Fucking crazy as hell. The next month, you're like, so here we're going to end with a chair shot. How does the word chair shot not remind you of what just happened the month before? Know that you're going to live up to that standard. You're going to play within the same arena as that standard. You're going to have to do something comparable to that or stay the fuck away from it. I don't know. To me, I just think it's fucking insanity that you would even go near a chair shot the next month that's thrown by a girl, you know. Not saying a girl can't throw a chair shot. I'm just saying, you know, following that is just ridiculous. So anyway, I hated that match. But that's honestly the only match that I can actually say that about on the card. So I'm, you know, really minimal complaints on the show as far as, you know, I have my criticism, but overall, the Cage of Death show was fucking awesome. Shane Strickland versus Alex Colon. This is another one. The match was fucking insane. Absolutely insane. And the only thing that I can honestly complain about is, honestly, I think they did too much. And, I mean, I am a spot monkey mark, if you will. I fucking love spot fests. I really, really do. I'm a huge PWG fan. That's pretty much all they do. You know, so much about this match was good, but so much of it seemed like just overkill. Like, you know, on one point of the match, Colon hits fucking Strickland with a brain buster on the fucking guardrail, and then with like barely a cell, and then Strickland immediately fucking power bombs Colon on the ring apron. And then like there's another point where Alex Colon hits Stu with the fucking El Generico turnbuckle brain buster, immediately followed by the go-to-sleep that he does. Immediately followed by a fucking inverted lung blower. Like, first off, he normally finishes with that go-to-sleep move. So you hit him with El Generico's finisher, and then your finisher, and then some other shit to a two count. Then you kick him in the head. Then you jump off the top rope and fucking knee him in the head. And the match is still going for another fucking 10, 15 minutes, like, or 10 minutes or whatever the case is. There's interference. Dude double stomps him in the back of the head. Fucking two count. Match still goes on. Mad more fucking damage to the head. And that's another thing. The double stomp thing, man, you, and I know, all right, the match finished with Alex Colon hitting Shane Strickland's double stomp on him, the swerve stomp on him. But come on now. First off, regardless of what you're doing there, that's two matches on the... Now, I'm not one of these dudes that I think they should be going in the locker room and be like, you do a powerbomb and so do I. Cut it out. Don't you dare powerbomb nobody. But you damn sure shouldn't have two matches on the card end with the same move. I mean, seriously, even if you do it different, or even if Alex is doing Shane's move in order to finish, You shouldn't be doing that shit on the same card that G's finished with his stomp. Or you should be getting together with G's and be like, yeah, how are you going to finish? Because I was going to finish using Shane's shit. And then, you know, it wouldn't be two double stomp finishes. That's what they did. But you got G's double stomp as a finisher. You got Shane Strickland double stomp as a finisher. You got Azrael interfering with a double stomp And then you got fucking Cologne finishing with Shane Strickland's double stomp. It's like, come on, man. I mean, they only used 8,000 moves in that match. I know it was like to make a point and use his finish and shit like this, but all the fucking different things they did in that match, you had to finish with the same shit that was on another. And like I said, I'm not going to criticize who changed what, which match should have changed their finish. I don't give a fuck. I'm just saying it looks crazy as hell if you got two matches finishing the same way on a fucking card. But like I said, I kind of think they did a little too much. Because the thing is like, what do you do next month? How do you wrestle next month? Like, Shane Strickland or Alex Cologne? How do you go in a match and not lose? I mean, how do you get beat if someone doesn't hit you with five finishers? Is it just that his offense doesn't hurt as much and someone else's normal finisher will just beat you? I'm big on the spots and stuff, and I'm fine with people kicking out of finishers and stuff. I'm not dead set against that. But, I mean, we're talking finisher after finisher after finisher after finisher, and then a kick out, and then a finisher, and then a kick out, and then you hit five finishers, and it's just like, dude, you're killing yourself because a month later, you're going to have to go back in the ring and do something, and it's just going to be harder to believe. Like, oh, wow, he lost to just that shit? That's weird, because last month he got fucking hit with everything in the wrestling encyclopedia, and he kicked the fuck out. I don't know. I feel like they're doing themselves more harm than good putting too much into it. And hey, man, these guys went fucking balls out and busted their fucking ass. I give these guys a million points credit for everything they did out there because the match was fucking crazy. Crazy. I mean, those guys put each other through some shit. So I ain't taking anything away from it. I just think that, you know, they didn't even need to do that much to put on a fantastic match. But, you know, it is what it is. I'm just a fan. Then you had, about 45 minutes to an hour. I'd say closer to an hour of cage setup. And, a little longer than expected. This was a very long time. Cage set up and cage set up and cage set up. And, we just waiting. And the motherfuckers is walking back and forth and back and forth. And you're like, what the fuck is going on, man? And it's like mad far into the setup. And I'm like, it must have been like 45 minutes in. And now they're going like, really taking their time, taking the ring ropes off, and you're just like, what? Now the ropes are coming? I didn't really understand why, and I was like, oh, I guess that's what they're doing now. I don't know if one of the ropes broke, and then they decided, like, on the fly, but not fast on the fly. I mean, like, they kind of went around and, okay, I guess we'll remove we'll just go remove. I mean, they were bringing pieces of the cage to the back and then fucking coming back with them and shit, like resizing the motherfucker. This shit was crazy. Shit was really, really crazy. They spent a lot of time on other things. Like, they had this thing that was like six chairs attached to like a small chain link piece, like small, well, you know, the size of six chairs. And then they had that, like, roped up and attached to the top and shit like this. And I don't know how necessary, like, some of that shit was if it was going to take, like, a half hour each piece. You know what I mean? It is what it is. The match finally gets going. Crazy shit. I mean, what you would expect out of Cage of Death, absolute insanity. I had another problem that I've been continuously mentioning, and I really still think they need to go fucking blow Mike Burns and do what they got to do. This camera work is fucking horrendous. Horrendous. Like, you'll see a spot about to happen, and then the cameraman will just have, like, a seizure or a fucking some kind of spasm, or I don't know, but the camera's moving all over the fucking place, and you barely get the spot. Like, Danny Havoc's fucking bump out of off the fucking thing, you barely seen what the fuck happened. And that shit had to hurt like a motherfucker, but it was a horrible, horrible camera angle and horrible coverage on it. Like, the other thing, that fucking six chair fence contraption, they pretty much missed getting that on camera. They did it where they wired it up and then they cut it. They cut like the rope from the top. I think Devin cut it or somebody cut it from the top, and it swung down and hit, I think Drew Blood. And you barely had that on camera, like barely. Like that took a whole bunch of fucking time to set up like that, so you could do the tricky little swing down and hit a move, and you barely got it on fucking camera. That's bad, man. And when you got that much different shit going on in the match, man, you should have maybe a few cameramen on it, but definitely stay at the hard cam for the most of it, because you're going to lose a lot of just trying this whole close-up shit, and the guy's too close, and then he can't get focused. It just looked fucking crazy from the camera angle. Like I said, a lot of crazy fucking spots. Rory had awesome fucking face paint. I don't know if Joker did that, because I know Joker did he did face paint for the dude on Halloween, and he looked awesome on that. So I can only guess that Joker might have did this one, but I could be completely off on that. But awesome looking face paint, the whole shit. Everybody bust their masks in this match. This shit was on point. It really was. I wish it was a little better camera angle covered, but they got the most of it, and they come down to the end of it, and the big surprise, the Nation of Intoxication secret member is none other than Sick Nick Mondo. Now, unbelievable surprise. Give them all the credit in the world for booking a dude, especially because what we later find out the purpose is, after the match, we find out Rory is retiring. This is his last match, and this is it. You know what I mean? And as his retirement was going to go, it was more or less going to be Mondo sending him off. Well, why you wouldn't finish the match having Rory be the last one left and then Sick Nick Mondo's music hitting and Mondo being the one that knocks him off the top of the cage for Nation of Intoxication to win? Why not do that is beyond me. I mean, that seems like it makes absolute perfect sense to come down to it's just Rory left. Rory maybe knocks whoever off the cage. Maybe it's Lucky. Maybe it's whoever. Throws whoever from the Nation of Intoxication, which would seemingly be the last one, off the cage. And as he throws it off, lights go out, music hits, and fucking the crowd goes bananas, and then, you know, comes back on to Nick Mondo kicking him off the top of the cage. Because, you know, Mondo's still retired. He doesn't want to do, you know, I obviously would be off the hook to see him do it like a fucking assault driver off the cage and shit like that. But, you know, again, he's retired, and, you know, for the purpose of the, you know, the meaning of it, it was absolutely incredible for him to be there and you know, do this for Rory. But either way, you know, nitpicking on the finish and what it should have been, or, you know, what I think it should have been, you know, it was what it was, and it was absolutely awesome to, you know, bring him back for that moment, to have him say that, you know, he's proud of Rory, and Rory doesn't need to do anymore, and Rory pretty much calling that the close to his career was just awesome. I mean, Rory's another guy I really can't say enough nice things about. I met him as a kid. You know, he was a kid in Sewell. We were, you know, going to the Sewell shows, and, you know, he was just super, super Mondo Mark. He would dress like Mondo. He was just all about it. You know, he's one little kid dressing UFOs with the fucking Sick written on his forehead, and like just a cute little kid, man, that was just marking out, couldn't be happy to be there. I mean, other kids were at home fucking, you know, worshiping fucking John Cena or fucking Shawn Michaels. This dude lived for fucking CZW to come on and for Nick Mondo to be there. And that was his fucking dude. And to, you know, to go from there, to grow up, to be a wrestler, to emulate himself after Nick Mondo, to be, you know, little Mondo still, which, you know, people had chanted back then because he was a little Mondo, and, you know, and then, you know, to go every, you know, through everything he did, to end up going to Japan, representing over there, busting his ass in Japan, coming back, having that whole thing go on where they thought he was disrespectful, you know, it was like a misunderstanding, and you know, Drake had gotten pissed off, you know, people just thought he was just going to get killed by Drake and go away or whatever, you know, the perception was. He had an absolute murderous match with Drake where he just got his ass handed to him in Cage of Death. Fucking phenomenal. Took every bit of it in stride, really put himself on the map with that, and just continued to just bust his ass everywhere he went, proved himself, Japan, everything. And to come down to this and have his big moment in Cage of Death and Nick Mondo to be there, I mean, it's just fucking awesome. Absolutely awesome. I got to say, congratulations to Rory and, you know, everything he accomplished. And, you know, to have such a fantastic storybook ending to his career and, you know, have your idol, you know, help you write the final chapter to your career. I mean, it's just, you know, it's one of those, like, touching deathmatch moments. A touching moment in deathmatch history. Just great stuff. So I got to give it up to them for that. And really great planning and everything. And I'm actually somewhat losing my voice. I'm glad I'm pretty much done here. But my big Christmas surprise and my guest for next week will be none other than Sick Nick Mondo. And I'm beyond excited to interview this guy. I've always wanted to interview this guy. For anyone who knows anything about me and, you know, what I've, you know, done a lot of on this show, I'm very, very big on the old school CZW. Like I said, I started going in February 2001 and, you know, went steady all the way till what, 2011? I believe 2011. And, you know, I have so much to ask this guy. It's great. The guy's, you know, he's been living in Japan, so he's going to do me the huge, huge favor of coming on and giving me an interview while he's still in the States before he goes back to Japan. It's an absolute honor, and yeah, I can't thank the guy enough, and I promise a great interview. That's all I can say. I'm going to do my best to, you know, condense what I have, try to figure out, you know, the best of my questions to ask, because I don't know how long I have. You know, as you know, I've done crazy long fucking 4-hour interviews with Ian Rotten. I've done some pretty long interviews, but this, you know, I'm not going to have no 4 hours with Nick Mondo. You know, I'll try to plan out questioning for roughly an hour, hopefully, you know. I'll get about that or a little over or whatever the case is. But either way, fantastic guest. I can't wait to do it. I'm really excited for it. And what a great Christmas episode it's going to be. So, yeah, we're back and forth, you know, as far as scheduling and everything else. But so far, we have it figured out for then. Everything seems a go. And that's going to be that. I think that's about all I got. I definitely also have a bunch of interviews lined up for the new year. Probably the new year's show. I'll probably just do a solo show for New Year's Day. As, you know, most people will be all drunk New Year's Eve and this and that. Me, not so much. But, you know, New Year's Day, I'm not trying to, you know, have a guest on that's still all banged up and hungover from the night before. You know, I don't know that any of my guests would or wouldn't be, but, you know, I just figure, you know, do my solo thing there, and then, you know, the second week of January, I will definitely have a guest. As we get closer, I'll let you know. Like I said, I have already 3 guests lined up for the new year. They'll all be fantastic, and, you know, let's focus on next week, Sick Nick Mondo, one and only, and, you know, we'll go on from there. And, you know, keep it moving. So, plugs, check out Wrestling Soup tomorrow night. No. Well, they might be doing some kind of thing, some kind of audio or some kind of special. But they did their last show for the year last week. So they might be putting something on. But you could always check out their archives, WrestlingSoup.com. You know they put on a great show. If you haven't listened to some of their old stuff, you can go back and listen to some of that stuff. The Sports Den is still on tonight. I'm sure they're chopping up. My cat's yelling at me to get out of my room. So I'm going to, you know, talk through his little whiny screaming. And, okay, there he is. And, so anyway, the Sports Den is on tonight, talking lots of sports. I'm sure they're chopping up that that NFL playoffs coming up, and they're talking about some, you know, basketball and everything else that's going on, baseball trades. They got it all on lock, hockey, everything. I'm definitely going to have a couple of those guys on, too, upcoming, you know, within the next coming weeks, I guess. Hopefully, you know, pre-playoffs. Playoffs. I'll try to get them on, maybe do like a Saturday show, because them running the same night as me, it's kind of hard to get those guys on, but I've been meaning to have Nick on and Dube on. You know, I've had Christian on a couple times, which is great. Could always have him back on as well. But maybe I'll plan like a Saturday show, you know, sometime in January, an extra show beyond the Wednesday one I'm doing, and just do like specific football talk with those guys so I can get those guys in there. Because, you know, I always enjoy their conversation. They do a great show. So, yeah, check them out. Stern Nation as well. I believe they do, like, Saturday shows or something now, like Saturday mornings or something. But they just had actually, like, a big SFS, Stern Facebook Superfans Christmas party in New York and stuff. So they had a whole thing going on there. I'm sure they're going to be talking about all that. Stern Show's been on fire, doing things. You know, a lot of great guests they've been having, great content. So, you know, definitely check them out. Great Howard Stern wrap-up. You know, great talk on there. Yeah, check them out as well. Yolanda, check her out. The Shiznet comes on tomorrow night. I think that's everything I got there. Let me see if I'm missing anything. I don't think so. And it's funny because I said, let me see if I'm missing anything, and just kind of leaned over, and I really don't have anything that I'm looking at that would tell me one way or another. I think that's it. Losing my motherfucking voice. I got to pull up this DMX joint. Yeah, so I'll check you guys out next week. I will have on none other than CZW Deathmatch legend, Sick Nick Mondo. Check your motherfuckers out next week on Christmas. Peace.
So I printed the lyrics of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And would you,
I know the lyrics.
Would you do us the honors of spitting Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen, but do you recall the most famous reindeer of all? Come on! Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw him, you would even say it close. Come on, come on! All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer games. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, come on! Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you ride my sleigh tonight? Then all the reindeers loved him, and they shouted out weakly, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you go down to history forever. You go down to history forever. You go down to history. What?
That is going to be
Rudolph. There's
a cat in the house. Cat in the house. Let's get there. There's a cat in the house.
Yakuza Kick Radio. Kill 'em all. Back on top. Think about it. Fuck Hulk Hogan.
These motherfuckers are geniuses.
Keep it up, my nigga.
What the fuck? But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town, and it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.